The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook by using promo code RTRS and brought to you by Korn Blau and Korn Blau, the official law firm of The Process. Adam Kasabi, the official realtor of The Process at processrealtor.com. Excuse me. LL Pavorsky Jewelers, who are Rights to Ricky Sanchez listeners, go and get engaged. And of course, Kinetic Skateboarding, get 9.1% off your first order with promo code Dave Silver. On the show today, seems like the Damian Lillard era is ending in Portland as stories come out everywhere, and he will not publicly commit to the Blazers. So we will talk about the trade scenarios that are on the table for the Sixers and all of the other teams. The Bucks are on the verge of an NBA championship. We may get to CJ and his button-down shirt for our AMA feature, and we dip into the mailbag. Before we get going, you know, one of the great things about our little podcasting community is that we have a real connection to the people who listen and everybody part of it. So we hear about personal things, and I got an email from Matthew, whose dog Bailey was a Process pup and unfortunately lost her battle with cancer. She was 3 years old. Her parents are Matthew and Ashley. They adopted her from a shelter in Conshohocken about 2 years ago when she was on the, she had 2 days left before they were going to put her down. So adopted her, seemed like a great dog, a pit bull, and Bailey got diagnosed a year ago with cancer and eventually just became too much. So we want to send all of our love to Matthew, Ashley, their friends and their family, and their memory of Bailey. They got to share. It always, I read these emails and I get upset. I start crying when I read the freaking emails, but it is nice. Remember, the dogs don't deal with the anxiety of their, when they get diagnosed with cancer. Dogs don't know how to have the cancer. So Bailey had a great life thanks to Matthew and Ashley. And Matthew and Ashley had a great few years thanks to Bailey. So wishing you guys love. Without any further ado, Amos and the Chef. Welcome to the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with a guy who is now most famous for his penguin shadow, Mike Levin.
Hello.
Here we are again. Yeah, your penguin shadow is a big hit. I saw in the YouTube comments a few people who were just listening to the pod last time heard us talking about the penguin shadow and went to the YouTube to see it. So might have to bring it back for some trade and draft analysis later in the offseason.
Who knows when it'll be here, but it's my natural state. I am a penguin shadow.
You are a penguin shadow.
I am myself.
Okay. Penguin shadow. So the big news this week, Chris Haynes does a feature on Damian Lillard, the feature that always comes out when a player is about to ask for a trade, talking about, you know, how much they love this city, but that they can't win a championship. And then Henry Abbott comes out and says that a source close to Lillard says that Lillard is going to request a trade in the next few days. And then, even though Lillard comes out and says he didn't request a trade, he doesn't. It's pretty noncommittal in his comments at Olympic practice. And then Quentin Mayo, who actually works for my company, works for Odyssey. Quentin Mayo reports that Lillard will want to play for the Knicks or the Sixers. So it seems like the Sixers, the Knicks, the Heat, the Warriors are the four teams here. Is there anyone I'm forgetting, do you think? Unless there's a surprise team somewhere?
Yeah, someone else could come out of the woodwork, but it seems like if part of trading a superstar that is as beloved as Dame is trading him to a place he wants to go.
Right.
Not just let's get the best deal possible. I think it's hopefully a combination of that for those teams. Like, even somebody that wasn't beloved, like Paul George in Oklahoma City, he was like, trade me to the Clippers.
Right.
And they have to be like, okay, like, just to keep up appearances. I don't know how that benefits them down the long road. Like, it's not going to be like, maybe it makes their players happier and feel respected, but it's not going to get anybody to sign in Oklahoma City. But it is usually through some combination of like management wanting to keep up appearances of being player friendly, and also like agents pushing the right buttons. They get to where they want to go. When's the last time someone was traded not where they wanted to go?
Right. Well, I think you could say Kawhi, but he was on the last year of his deal, and the Spurs were really mad at him. They basically wanted to tell him to go fuck himself. And then
even Anthony Davis, which was another go fuck yourself situation, they traded him.
Still went to the Lakers. Yeah. And the thing, I think the reason they end up, you mentioned a lot of the reasons, you know, relationship wise, and you don't want to be perceived as a team that, you know, fucks a player on their way out, whether somebody's going to sign there or not. You still have to deal with the same agents. But I think the other thing that I think people misinterpret that I've said a bunch of times is that there's a perception that if the player says, I want to go to this team, then the trading team doesn't have any leverage. But they do have leverage because they have the player. And I think that's what the Pelicans proved, in that Anthony Davis only wanted to go to this one place, and they still basically got everything that the Lakers had, because they had Anthony Davis, and the Lakers needed to do it from it was much easier to do from them from a trade rather than a free agency situation. They wouldn't have to wait another year. So I think, you know, I think the other part of that is the team, they might have to wait a little bit longer, but they still end up getting what they want. Basically, you know, they end up getting the best offer, even if there's only one or two teams. So when I look at these four teams, and they all seem like good situations for Lillard to go to, you know, it all ends up in really good, you know, positive situations.
In what regard?
Well, like, I mean, good city, you know, like I would say that the only outlier in this is that the Knicks, unless there's another free agent that comes, I don't think it is a championship situation.
I think that about Miami also. Hmm. I don't think that they... I don't think you're getting Damian Lillard with a Tyler Hero package.
Right, you think it's got to be Adebayo.
I think it'll have to be something like that, or just like every single thing we have, and it's Bam and Jimmy and, like, you know, Eric Spoelstra's dad.
If it's Bam, Jimmy, and Dame Lillard, that's pretty
very,
fucking...
obviously very good. But I
especially think, in Miami, by the way. Like,
for sure.
We're
I don't,
attracting...
I just don't think that they will... If Portland does that, that is almost like a level of... There's no way that's going to be the best deal. Even if it's and Precious Achiuwa, and because Duncan Robinson's a free agent, there's a bunch of those guys that just, like, they don't have much to trade. And some picks, but I don't think they have all their picks even. So it would be like we want Dame to go to Miami and play with these guys, not we want the best deal. It'd be like almost malpractice to do that.
Unless it's Adebayo.
Unless it's Adebayo.
Right.
And then if it's Adebayo, then it's like Dame and Jimmy are both on the wrong side of 30. Like that would be a tough team to build around, I think, in such a short amount of time to make it a championship. And I don't think a Dame, Jimmy, no Bam would be like a real finals threat.
It would be interesting to see what else they could do around that team. I'm not discounting that completely, I guess.
No, you're right. It's not discounting completely, but I think the Sixers and, to some extent, the Warriors are the best situations for him.
Yeah. Well, the Warriors, I mean, they go to play with Steph Curry. I don't know how they make that salary work. Wiggins, right. So go play with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. I mean, it'd be pretty good to play in the Bay Area with those guys. Sixers, I'm trying to think. I think the Warriors is the best situation for Lillard if he wants to try to win a championship. I think that Sixers would slightly be above the Heat, and then... The Heat just have such a tremendous advantage in where they are to attract other players who want to play in Miami. There's no state tax. It's Miami. You know, like, I think that's an advantage. I think, like, while the Knicks would be a cool situation for Lillard, there's just not enough on that team. Now, there could be, you know, Kawhi Leonard opts out and decides he wants to go play for the Knicks. You know, then all of a sudden that becomes a – I don't think that's likely, but, I mean, I suppose that could be a possibility.
I think that the Knicks have earned some player after this season, some player deciding to go there. And especially if they trade for Dame, then someone will go there. But how long have people been saying the Knicks as this free agent destination? And is one, like, first round exit really going to be the thing that goes like, and finally, yes, we're fucking going there. Like, it's been years of everyone being like, could be the Knicks, could be the Knicks. And no one's ever chosen the Knicks. And so I don't know how much one season, which was like good and fun for them, would really do it. I don't know how much Dame's people can like assume that like, oh yeah, everybody's going to come.
Well, I think the only other difference with the Knicks, and I agree with you, one good season does not, you know, and especially I don't think Thibodeau's the coach that they end up winning a championship with. I don't think superstar players want to go get their career shortened by that guy. That's just my opinion. But the other advantage that Knicks have, aside from having a good season, is they now have, I know you don't like dealing with this stuff, but having Leon Rose and Worldwide Wes in their front office, who have incredible player relationships, especially Wes.
It's a relationships business, Spike. That's what you don't understand.
I understand it more than anybody else
because I love getting into relationships and starting them and screwing people over in them and just saying things behind people's back and all that stuff. That's what relationships is. Being an agent is all about doing whatever the fuck you want and saying it's because of relationships. It's the best. It's cool.
I respect it.
The grind. The
Wes does have great relationships and Leon Rose does. And to have them in an official capacity in New York City is, you know, there's, if they didn't have Dolan, you know, if there wasn't that, it would be attractive, you know. But it has been, to your point, it has been a while. It's been since Melo decided he wanted to go there and Stoudemire since that happened. So
speaking of that, brief pause on the Dame thing, we never talked about it. Embiid firing CAA or leaving CAA.
The impression that I got is that he is not going to sign with an agency.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there are a lot of things to that. I think my view on the Embiid CAA relationship is that it seemed positive the whole time. I mean, remember Leon was his guy and then Leon left. But the interesting thing is him signing a Supermax without a agency means he doesn't have to give part of that Supermax to anybody. And it is an interesting financial decision. And my guess would be is that he's not signing with Clutch or anything. If he signs with an individual, just sort of like lawyer / handler situation, he could do it after he signs the Supermax and save himself some money. So we will finish up the Lillard conversation, but I want to talk about our sponsor, Adam Kasebe, K-S-E-B-E, the official realtor of the process. Before the pod started, Mike and I were talking about the hell that is the realty situation right now. Buying a house, selling a house, not so bad, but buying a house is tough. You need somebody in your corner. You really need somebody in your corner. Adam Kasebe, a nice, honest guy who is going to take care of you and do his best to lead you through it. K-S-E-B-E. So Adam Kasebe works out of Long and Foster in Bethany, and they have, to them, Delaware and Maryland covered. Delaware beaches covered, Maryland covered, Ocean City, Maryland covered. If you want to get a beach house, great time, mortgage rates are low, all that kind of stuff. But like for me, he was able to find realtors. I needed a realtor in New Jersey. I needed a realtor in PA. And he goes and he vets the realtors and finds you somebody that will take care of you. He's done it for several Ricky listeners. He's your guy. Also, I refinance. It's a great time to refinance if you haven't done it with mortgage rates so low. Adam's even got a team of refinancers for you. And you can be anywhere to refinance your mortgage. I'm telling you, if you're buying a house, selling a house, whatever, Adam Kasebe, K-S-E-B-E, is your guy. 302-864-8643. 302-864-8643. You can call him, you can text him, that's a sell, or email adam@processrealtor.com. Adam Kasabi, the official realtor of The Process. So you would agree, though, with Lillard, this is it, right? Like, this is going to happen. This definitely seems like it's going to happen. Right? Or no?
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
I think so. There's just, like, every superstar trade guy that there starts to be whispers about, they do the, like, I'm committed to this city and this organization and we just need to get to a place, whatever. And you can just look at all the old tweets from, like, Shams or whoever being like, he's locked in for this season, he's gone. Like, it's just every single time it's going to be like, and I get why teams are frustrated with that, but, like, if you're Portland, like, you just haven't made Dame, you haven't made them good enough to legitimately be a championship contender, and that's what he's looking for, and that's why I think, like, the Knicks are not a championship contender right now. That's a lot of hope somebody signs in New York to put, like, the three last years of your prime into, because he's 31.
Yeah. Unless they know.
You wouldn't be going there without a... When does free agency start, even?
August 6th.
Okay.
Yeah, a week after the draft. Yeah.
So maybe you can orchestrate it that way, where someone's like, okay, we're going to sign this person, fine. But mm-hmm. I think as far as playing with a, you know, superstar goes, like, Lillard Embiid is the best. Like, if I'm Dame, I wouldn't want to go to Golden State. It's like, I don't know what that, we just saw what happened with Durant. Like, that doesn't, like, really add to your legacy that much if that's what you're looking for. Like, I know they're on the tail end of whatever, even past it, whatever dominance they had, and maybe they're trying to go for one last run. But, like, to come in now and be like, okay, I'm the third shooter behind Steph and Clay, it just doesn't feel as right. And so if I'm him, and if I'm also me, a Sixers fan that wants to see this happen, then I think the only answer that there could be is coming to Philly, because I don't think Miami will get it done without trading Bam, and I don't think that New York has enough left in the cupboard if they trade basically everybody good with it, except for Julius. And so come, just do it. Just do it. Just come to Philly. Make the trade.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Warriors thing. I don't know. You know, it obviously left Durant, you know, unfulfilled as a person, I think, winning those championships there, because I think he expected to feel one thing, expected to be perceived one way, and it was perceived another. You know, like, he won two finals MVPs and everybody's like, yeah, whatever. And I think for reasonably good reason, you know, like, that team was already, you know, arguably the best team in NBA history that he went to.
Yeah.
I do agree with that. I don't know how that affects Lillard and you know.
This wasn't directed at, I don't think, I mean, he's probably had some quotes, but, like, the quote that I remember is him chirping at Paul George, which is obviously a rivalry between them, which would be great for Dame to come here with a rivalry against Paul George. There's plenty of people here that don't like Paul George. It's great.
Doc Rivers, Seth Curry. Yep.
But the, him going, like, keep taking the easy way, basically, when he, you know, doing a, you know, orchestrating a collaboration like that. I don't think that going to the Warriors is anything but, like, that's, like, being somewhat of a hypocrite. Getting traded to Philadelphia or New York, I could say, you go, like, all right, I got traded, and now I'm going to try to win a championship. But it wasn't as much of a, like, all right, I'm going to go here and just, like, be cush. Because it just doesn't feel like, it wouldn't be like, hey, I won a championship with the Warriors. It's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah,
come to Philadelphia, be the hero.
Yeah, I think from that standpoint, he's a hero if he does it in Philadelphia. He's obviously a hero if he does it with the Knicks as well. Miami is an interesting thing in that nobody in the league will be like, thank God Miami finally got a championship. But it would be an interesting story to win a championship in the post LeBron era and go and do it there. But I don't think anybody cares in that way, but it would be an interesting team for sure. We got a suggested trade from a listener.
I saw this is almost exactly the trade I sent a bunch of trades around. Sent this one trade around to a lot of people, and it's been close. This is a little, mine's better, you're gonna like mine better, but it's it's the same thing. You say this one, and then I'll add what my color is.
So this comes from William. Will Portland's rebuild be sufficiently hastened if there's a three-team deal as follows?
So this would be in a world where the Portland wants to tear it down and doesn't want to try to do a McCollum Simmons spread it out situation.
Right, because that would not win a championship in anyone's.
Of course. Yeah. But if they wanted to, you know, try to fight for a playoff seed, then that is a better version than these trades.
So Sixers get Damian Lillard. Warriors get Ben Simmons. The Trailblazers get Wiseman, Wiggins, Maxey, 7 and 14 from the Warriors, and 2 first rounders from the Sixers. I think they can trade 24 and 26, or they can't trade 24 and 26.
Well, the Sixers this year as well.
Right, because the Sixers have traded 25, which means they can't trade 24 or 26. So I think they can trade 21, 23, 27. The Blazers could trade the picks for another solid player or go full rebuild and trade McCollum as well. The point is, who says no to this trade? So the Warriors would say no to that trade. There's no way the Warriors are trading Wiseman 7 and 14 for fucking Ben Simmons. There's just no way. It's an interesting trade. I'd like to hear your version of it. There's just no way the Warriors will trade all that for Ben Simmons.
So I kind of disagree. I mean, I think Wiseman sucks. I think he'll eventually be a playable player and be fine and do like just screen and roll and stuff. But like if you Jahlil Okafor the number 2 pick off of him, obviously Jahlil was 3. But if you take that off of him, then he's just like a raw rim running center that like looks good in a jersey. Like he's just not close to like a really good NBA player yet. And he's certainly not going to be quite useful on this Warriors team yet. 7 and 14, like same thing we talked about last week. Like once you drive the car off the lot, like it's not as good. So if you trade like a disappointing lottery pick in a mediocre draft where they made the wrong pick, two picks to get a guy that would instantly rejuvenate your like fast break and exciting questions about what him and Draymond would look like together because of passing, but like. Him around Steph and Clay would be very fun and interesting. And
too, also, Draymond murdering him at some point.
Oh, of course, for sure. Yeah, and doing the like this thing that he did, the gift that he did to Durant. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Mike O'Connor, who I texted, also made the point like it just feels like Steve Kerr would be a Simmons guy. It seems like he's a guy that feels like he could get a lot out of him and be like, I believe in this. What this like playing to his strengths and like diminishing his weaknesses and all that stuff. So I would find that really interesting. So I think that. This is not a bad trade for the Warriors. Obviously, with their 3 stars, like they're getting older, they're going to try to go get somebody. It's a matter of if they think Simmons is the best version of that. I think that they probably the optimistic take is like how many multi-time All-Stars with many years left on his contract are at this age are available like that.
Here's what I'd posit though: if I'm the Warriors, at least publicly. The thought is, well, we're going to trade 7-14 and Wiggins for Damian Lillard. And instead, we're going to trade 7-14 and Wiggins for Ben Simmons. Like, that's like...
Well, for sure. I think that the Blazers would be stupid to do that for Lillard.
Okay. Sure.
I think that that's just not enough. And so that's why in my trade, it opens it up a little bit more.
Okay. So what's your trade?
Well, I'm going to give you a little taste. And it's Robert Covington coming back to Philadelphia.
Ah, there we go. Oh, boy. All right. Okay. I'm in. Let's do it.
So the Sixers get Damon Covington. The Warriors get Simmons and George Hill, who'd be a nice addition to their bench unit situation. And then the Blazers get Wiggins, Maxey, Wiseman, Matisse, 2 firsts from the Sixers, 2 firsts from Golden State.
So the difference is Hill goes to the Warriors and we get Covington. And Thibault's involved.
Yeah.
And to that point, we knew this was going to happen. And Godner alluded to this at some point. The number of people who are just like, yeah, make it happen, but they can't give up Maxey or Thibault.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
we're just not in that world anymore. It's fun. Obviously, that's up to Morey to negotiate. But we already let that happen. Once, I think, and we can't let it happen again. Like we just, the Sixers, as I think you probably feel similarly, if this can happen, they have to make it happen. They just, if the Damian Lillard thing can happen, they have to make it happen.
Yeah, I think so. I think if Covington's not coming back, then you kind of can't trade Ben and Matisse, or like I'd really rather not to. But with Covington coming back, you can go like, okay, I initially had it that it was Shake going instead of Matisse, but I think that it's
let's be realistic.
They're going to ask for it. Let's be realistic. Otherwise, like the best Sixers prospect going to Portland, it's just Maxey and like Shake. And I also think like it'd be helpful for the Sixers to have another ball handler outside of Dame if they're trading George Hill and Ben and Maxey. So it's as much of a bummer as it would be to trade Maxey or Matisse or Shake, it would be, I think there's, you just do it. I think you got to do it. And then you go, and then the team becomes Dame, Danny, Cove, Tobias, Embiid, with Seth and Shake off the bench.
And so if Danny and Cove are on the same team,
I know. First of all,
the joy in my world,
it'd be so bizarre. Just guys just standing there. There's no movement. No, not really any ability to dribble. Although I think Covington's a better ball handler than Danny. He's improved his ball handling.
But, yeah. How do you think fans would decide who to boo?
Everybody. The answer. It's tough. That would be like a slightly, you know, if you're looking at that, that's a slightly stiff wing rotation.
Yeah.
But you mostly just want them to stand around while Dame Embiid does pick and roll and be in the post and all that stuff.
And we always say pick and roll. I mean, the great thing with Embiid would be the pick and pop game would mm-hmm. be just fantastic. I mean, we saw such a great jump in Embiid's effectiveness from mid-range this year because of the space around him. And that was mostly from isolation, you know, like that was mostly from him getting the ball, facing up and shooting that shot. And there was room around him. Adding the ability for a pick and roll ball handler to create space from him in that way. And also like that opens up the court in a, you know, insanely different way. I mean, I'm sure you read the pick and roll, like the evolution of the pick and roll article that was on ESPN.com. It was Arnovitz. Was it Pelton and Arnovitz? I forget who wrote it. I think it was Pelton and somebody, but just all of the things that it opens up would be incredible.
Yeah. And then Covington's turned himself into a good screener. And has a lot of pick and pop to his game also, if MB doesn't want to do that, you know, every time down the court, basically.
What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know.
Well, we did this with Harden. We got to, I mean, we might only have another week of this. I mean, it could happen before the draft, you know?
Trying to determine what kind of person I am. Am I the kind of person after all this abuse from the Sixers to my brain and well-being, like, am I the kind of person that's just going to, like, sign up for more?
Yeah.
And be like, they're going to get him.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get him. I don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly who you are.
Probably. I think that the Sixers, and to your point that you made earlier, like, why would the Warriors, I don't think that there's, like, a rivalry between the Warriors and Sixers. If the Blazers go to the Warriors and go, like, look, you're not getting Dame. You don't have enough to get Dame. But if we can be part of a three-teamer, then you can get Simmons, and then it's more dynamic for the, you know, bridging the gap between the present and the future, possibly, if that's what they believe in, then maybe they put that aside. But I hear you, the idea that they wouldn't want to get in on a trade where they don't get the best player.
Also, there's there is, and I don't know how realistic it is, but trading him to the same part of the region of the country in the same conference, I don't know how.
Portland trade not wanting to trade him to Golden State.
To Golden State, yeah. I mean, I think that could be a part of it, you know? Like, I think that could be a consideration in there, so.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think that the Sixers have the best package. I think that the Sixers objectively should get him. But I wouldn't put up Miami or the new guys in New York to orchestrate something, so.
Yeah, don't fuck it up, Daryl. I mean, you get a year. We give everybody a year before we start being, you know, critical, and you know, not getting Harden, I think you might have fucked it up, but the Lillard thing, like, it just, you know, when Harden didn't happen, one of the things we talked about is like, there's a player that comes up every year, you know, like it wasn't going to be the only player, but if it's not this player, then we might have to wait another year. So, yeah. And this player is just such a level above in terms of where he is in his career and skill level, the Levines, and I think you and I disagree about how far Lillard is over Beal, but he's definitely better. So just make it happen. Don't fuck it up.
Are you concerned at all about, like, I haven't heard this much, but like, and I'm excited about it, but a part of me, 5% of me, is like 31-year-old small point guard.
Nah. Nope. Don't care. Don't care.
Yeah, don't care. I mean, it's not the sense of like, oh, we don't have 7 years of this. That's less of like what it is. It's just a matter of, in my mind, Embiid is already, and maybe we should stop thinking about him like this, but like kind of on the clock of.
Yeah, so get a guy who's on the clock too.
Of course, but it's less about like his career is going to over, but and more like when is the like deep drop? Like when is the right. steep kind of thing? It might not just be like an easy decrescendo. It could be a like all of a sudden he doesn't have the juice in his legs anymore. I don't know. I mean, I love Dame. He's an incredibly joyful player to watch. Him in Philadelphia would be absolutely incredible, but it is like a like small concern of like, well, what if, you know?
Nothing. There's always going to be a box that's not checked. No, and true.
With Harden, it was like, you know, personality, wanting to be here, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and even Harden's basically the same age, and you know, like even though is sort of a horse in terms of the amount he plays, like doesn't seem to be a workout guy, you know, and the ability of his game to translate in the playoffs, nobody was sure. I mean, I wanted Harden and I thought it would have been great, but I think like not everybody's going to check every box, and I'm willing to forego that. It doesn't seem like he slowed down at all yet, so give me another 3 years, I'll be fine.
If you could, Dame trade happens, you can hold on to one thing. Probably Maxey is gone, so let's say. Well, let's not say that. So Maxey, Matisse, or like Shake and like three pick swaps.
I would. Ooh.
Because the thing that
on to Thybulle probably.
Because the thing that we don't. There is such thing as overpaying for a trade.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
There definitely is, and as much as like Daryl, and I don't. He's gotten off kind of scot free about this, but like. He traded Chris Paul and a bunch of stuff for Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, but everybody sort of agrees that wasn't his fault.
I know, but isn't it so convenient that we agree that it wasn't
his
fault?
Yes, it is. It is.
It is the same thing of me totally abdicating Sam Hinkie of blame for taking Jahlil Okafor. He still shouldn't have done it. Like, it might not have been his fault. He might have wanted Porzingis.
He might have wanted Porzingis, whatever.
But, like, he still did it.
Right,
and I think the same thing with Daryl making that horrible Westbrook Chris Paul trade.
Yeah, I agree.
And so I'm just like a little hesitant to be like Simmons, who is a cost controlled multi-time All Star, and Maxey, who is great as a rookie and is on a great contract, and Matisse, who is, you know, continues to evolve, already second team All Defense in his second season and playing great ball in Australia. And Shake, who is for a lot of the season a very viable sixth man of the year candidate on a very cheap contract, and a couple picks, which will hopefully be bad, but like, and pick swaps into the future forever. Like, it just there is a line somewhere.
Sure.
And well, knowing how bad the Chris Paul Russell Westbrook trade it was for him, I just hope that Daryl feels the end of the line somewhere where it's like, we're going to give you this. This is as far as we can go. Like, that's where I'm at.
I hope wherever the end of the line is, the end of the line has Lillard in it.
Of course.
Before we talk about the finals, let's talk about Adam Kornblau. Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of The Process. An email, I'm not going to use name, but a great email. Hey guys, I'm sure there's a limit to the number of emails Adam once read about how he'll give free advice to people who will never be clients. So feel free to use this as, or not as appropriate. My wife was recently attacked by a well-known neighborhood house cat. It was unexpected and shocking as it sounds. As my wife went through a number of doctor's visits, including an infection, the cat's owner alternated between being helpful and standoffish. Not knowing how bad it might get and not knowing what else to do, I turned to Adam for advice even though I live in Chicago. He gave me a call soon after, and we talked everything through. We made a plan for what to do if it escalated, despite him knowing full well where I lived and that it wouldn't be a case for him regardless. And I can't tell you how much it meant to us to know that if we needed it, we, quote, had a guy, so to speak, to point us in the right direction. In the end, the infection was minor, my wife is fine, and the owner voluntarily paid the medical bills, which were only a couple $100. But I can't thank Adam enough for taking the time to give us that kind of peace of mind. He's just a good guy. Thanks for having good sponsors who are good people. There it is, Kornblau and Kornblau, the premier boutique personal injury law firm in the Delaware Valley. Also, the person who goes on Twitter to ask random Twitter followers when his commercials were for the last 4 years instead of just sending me an email. That's the kind of guy Kornblau is. Doesn't want to bother me, so he just asked on Twitter, willing to pay somebody to find out what podcasts his commercials were in.
Love it.
What a fucking guy. 215-576-7200. Ask for Adam. Personal injury, his specialty, but as that email showed, whatever you need, he's there. 215-576-7200. Ask for Adam. Email Kornblau at kornblauandkornblau.com. Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of the process. So Bucks go up 3-2. This has been, in my opinion, the best finals since the LeBron beats the Warriors finals in 2016, pretty much without question. The games have been great, super competitive, great play from a number of different players.
Relative health,
sure. Holiday, game five, Holiday has a great game. Booker has a great game. Giannis has a great game. Middleton has a great game. The Prometheus of the process, Drew Holiday with the steal in the lane on Booker, and then the ballsiest. I thought Trae Young threw the ballsiest alley-oop of all time. Drew Holiday not just holding onto that ball and getting fouled and throwing that alley-oop was fucking ballsy shit. Just an incredible game and an incredible series so far, and it's been a lot of fun to watch and a great cleanser. Great palate cleanser after the fucked up Sixers ending of the series of the season. I think.
Yeah, I mean, Milwaukee's just playing really well. They're just like it's so hard to get out in transition in the playoffs, and they keep doing it. And they continue to be the team getting to loose balls. They're just out playing them, out hustling them, out rebounding them. Everything like. You knew.
Connaughton hitting shots.
So a couple. So you like it was so obvious that Giannis is going to miss this foul shot, and Phoenix is not going to get this rebound. And it's just like, you're looking at Monty Williams, who I think is a great coach, but like you got to put somebody in there to rebound. You've given up so many offensive rebounds, and you just have Ayton and Crowder and Bridges. Like get somebody in there. Give me. Even like whether it's Kaminsky or even like Jalen Smith's length, like somebody's got to get in there. I know you're missing Dario, but it's not like he's like a fantastic rebounder. Like there had to be something here, and to not come up with some of those rebounds is tough. But the other thing is like Phoenix shot 13 of 19 from three, 68% from three in this game.
Yeah, and they combined to shoot I think 55% from three.
Which ridiculous. Obviously, Milwaukee shot 50% themselves, but Milwaukee shot nine more threes. Like, if you're shooting 68% from three, take more than 19 threes. You have to. You straight up have to. And it, like, kudos to Milwaukee and Budenholzer for forcing them to live in that mid range. And as much as like they're good in that mid range, and Booker put up 40. It's less. You're not going to get to the line. You're not going to get fouled. You're not going to hit everything. They only went to the line 11 times. 11 free throws and 19 threes in this year is not enough. And I think as much as it is a lesson, I think, in watching, you know, the Sixers, you know, whether it's drop, pick, and roll or just allowing guys to live in that mid-range, it's frustrating when they're hitting shots and you feel stupid doing it. You feel like we should be, something should stop. But, and I think there, obviously those, a lot of those Sixers teams just like made it very easy on them, but forcing guys into tough mid-range shots, even if they're excellent mid-range shooters, there is a, for the offense, diminishing returns on that. And I mean,
Phoenix, we can prove that. Yeah.
But like Phoenix shot 55% from the field, 68% from three, and 91% from the line, and they didn't win. Like, because they just, they took too many of the wrong kinds of shots. And Milwaukee was just did enough to they obviously shot well also, but like they just did enough to withstand all those buckets, and it's just a hell of a series, man. And you got to expect eventually Chris Middleton is going to start missing shots. Like, he has to start missing very contested leaners with like very limited airspace, and he has it, which is crazy.
Yeah, I think the Suns could win Game 6. It's just been, like, to your point, there are a lot of things that you could say they should have done this, should have done this, should have done this. But I think this is the first series in a while that I'm watching it and just thinking, you know, one team's just going to win. And I think the Saric thing hurts, especially because the Bucks, between Giannis and Portis and Lopez, are just big. Even Middleton's, like, not a small guy, and Drew Holiday's a 6'7". You know, point guard.
PJ Tucker doesn't get a ton of offensive rebounds, but
he's tough.
Creates a lot of them by just being physical with other guys and wearing them down and stuff.
I was watching Drew Holiday last night, and I promise I won't keep doing this. It'll be over eventually. But I'm watching Drew Holiday, and I'm going like, this is why you can't pay Ben Simmons like max money. Like, here's a guy who is an excellent defensive player, just excellent, arguably as good a point guard defender as there is in the entire league. Big, strong, doesn't wear down, it doesn't seem like, and also an excellent, you know, he has not had a great playoffs offensively, but like what he is capable of offensively, it's just like you can have one without giving up the other. And I will always feel a personal connection to Drew. Like, I loved Drew Holiday when he was a Sixer. Yeah, I will always remember him hitting that three in Boston and blowing a kiss to the crowd. And I thought it was the right thing to trade him, and I still think it was the right thing to trade him. But I love watching him play well. He's just like, he's a not a perfect player, and, you know, not one of the three best point guards in the league, but a really fun player to watch. And I'm glad for his success, you know.
He's awesome, man. I love Drew. Yeah, I don't think that there's that many, like, his defense is obviously above his offense, and I think him going as hard as Chris Paul and just making everything tough on him is, that's just like, you can see how bad he wants it, and it's cool to watch.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's that many good point guard defenders who also can do anything offensively. Drew's not an excellent offensive player, but he's good, and to have like a high amount of both is like, you think about Marcus Smart, like there's not that much, like Mike Conley in his prime, there's just not that many point guards that also are like, and he can shut down the other guy. So I don't think that there's a ton of those types of players, but yeah, between him and Chris, they're doing enough. The role players are hitting shots, and it's an incredible series. So that play, the Booker play where he just got in a little too deep. He just waited a little too long.
Should have just rised up like two dribbles before.
Yeah, either that or just get rid of it sooner. But Drew like just putting the clamps on was awesome. It was cool to see. It's a fun series. I want Phoenix to win. I would love to go to a game seven. I would love to see that. But Milwaukee looks good. Three in a row in the finals is hard to do. And they've done this like every series.
Yeah. Yeah, they've shown a lot. They've shown a lot. I don't know that I thought they were capable of doing this all these times. So we bring on our well-dressed, buttoned-up producer, CJ, to give us some AMA questions from Twitter. Hopefully he's done that. That is brought to you by Kinetic Skateboarding. Get 9.1% off your first order at kineticskateboarding.com with promo code DaveSilver. CJ looks like he would do well with some Kinetic gear, you know, maybe a skull cap, maybe a hoodie, something like that, a button down, maybe a Dickies, you know, kinetic, yeah, something like that. You know, kinetic. What do we got, CJ?
Yeah, let's start with Philip the intern, who asks, I think it's fair to say that if Ben Simmons is traded this offseason, the Sixers likely waited too long. When do you think was the right time to have moved him in a trade?
About 6 months ago.
That's an interesting point. Thank you, Philip. Yeah, it's always hard to know when the right move is. I think we talked about this, like, when we talked about who the optimal guy to trade him for was. Was it the, like, Kawhi trade? Was it the Jamal Murray possibility? Those kinds of things. And I think that when they changed coaches this offseason, this is partly why I didn't think initially Dame would get traded, because they, like, there tends to be one big move an offseason. And, like, okay, we're changing right. the coach this year. And maybe in Portland's mind, they should have done that last offseason. So now it's like a little, it feels like a little too late, where it's you have to do more than just that. But when they changed coaches, it was worth, because of, you know, Ben was out for the playoffs in the bubble, and then they replaced Brett with Doc. It was like, all right, let's see what else a new coach can do here. Like, I just don't blame them for, and Daryl took over. Like, I just don't blame them for that. It would have felt a little bit, I mean, for the right trade, you do it, but it would have felt quick.
When he came back this year looking like essentially the same guy and Harden was there, I mean, that was the time.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, that was the time. That was the time to do it. And I don't, honestly, like, if it ends up netting you Lillard in the end, then still fine. You know, like, still fine. So, what's next?
Dan Cass asks, if the Suns win the finals without a Colangelo in their front office, is that the most non-Sixers process championship?
I think so, and I think the Team USA doing badly is also a fun indictment on Jerry.
Yep.
Unbelievable that he's still alive, just totally working on spite, just only operating exclusively on spite, and just relationships. He's survived by all of the relationships he's developed over the years and all the people he's screwed over. Yeah, good for Phoenix, man. If they win a championship, good for it. I'll call Milwaukee a process championship. I don't give a shit. Everybody is. Yeah.
Everybody's a process championship. Whatever as long happens. As it doesn't involve a Colangelo.
That's right. That's the rule.
By the way, just mentioning the finals, just a huge hat tip to LeBron's cornball shit last night with I think Mark Stein not sarcastically tweeting that Space Jam's LeBron was in the building, and then LeBron bringing a bottle of the tequila company that he owns of that tequila to sit in the front row with the tequila.
That's everybody
just like,
does that, man. Everybody knows what it is. I work for Dwayne Johnson. He's selling that tequila too. Like, you do it, man. You got the business. You got the businesses to sell the shit. Otherwise, what do you have the businesses for?
But Dwayne Johnson's entire like existence is like, I mean, he was a professional wrestler. I mean, like, his entire existence is showbiz. I don't know. Like, LeBron's just such a fucking dork. Whatever. One more.
Yeah, Parker wants to know, which first overall pick, not knowing how to shoot, is more embarrassing for the franchise and for the individual, Markel or Ben?
I just can't. We can't do it. We can't. Yeah, I think you're doing this and expecting me to survive it.
Yeah, yeah. We're not going to do that again. We're not going to do that.
God.
Thank you, CJ. Thank you. No CJ questions in the AMA this time. Amazing how somehow that works out. CJ.
There was actually, someone asked about my non-existent food list.
Yeah. Do you want to do a food list?
It's my appetite season. Isn't that intriguing. I eat pasta and eggs. That's pretty much it.
Well, at the same time?
Yeah.
I've done that before. Great. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Sixers Adam, quote unquote, doesn't like food, and he did one, so we might have to do a CJ one. Before we get to a couple of mailbag questions, our final sponsor of the pod is LL Pivorsky Jewelers. Today, July 18th, is the day the Cabana sale begins. LL Pivorsky Jewelers Cabana sale, which goes a month. It goes until August 15th. Huge discounts on LL Pivorsky Jewelry, up to 75% off regular prices. His featured item today, this is amazing, it actually takes real baby teeth, real human baby teeth. It grinds them up and creates a pearl-like jewelry that they can make into necklaces or bracelets. They don't really do that with baby teeth. But anything else, diamonds, pearls, whatever, gold, white gold, rose gold, silver, platinum, LL's your guy. And also congratulations to LL, who has now sold his 220th engagement ring to a Writes to Ricky Sanchez listener. Wow. 220. 707 Walnut in Philly. Been there over 32 years. 215-627-2252. Lee at llpavorsky.com or at llpavorsky. And supporting our charities, Coated by Kids in the Providence Animal Center, LL Pavorsky Jewelers.
We'll never forget how to shoot his shot.
Two mailbag questions I think are good. First one comes from AJ. If the rules were changed to 4-on-4, what starting four would you choose from last year's team? All other rules are the same, so there's a lot of extra spacing, and on the flip side, more ground for defenders to cover. Does this make Ben more valuable? Starting four. It's tough.
Yeah. Probably... Honestly, probably Ben Joel. No, I'd say probably Ben Joel, Tobias, Seth, probably. More space to operate.
Yeah.
Big enough.
See, it's tough because if I go Matisse over Ben, there's really nobody on the team that's a ball handler at all.
We'd go with Maxi.
Yeah. But I want Matisse. I'm not starting Matisse and Maxi. So do I go Matisse, Maxi, Curry, and Embiid?
No, that's crazy. You would want a Tobias out there. He was good last year.
Non-basketball question. Jason Bateman plays a financial guy in most of his movies. If you were an actor, what job would you want your character to have? Since Mike is business guy, I assume hedge fund related position.
Definitely.
So what job would you want your character to have? You can play one role.
Yeah, like there's the actors who always play like detectives and stuff.
Yep.
What would I be? It's hard not to say like what I want to be. I don't think that's the right answer. I think the right question is what would I be typecast as?
Yes.
Maybe like that's not a job. It's hard not to say like blogger, but that's not quite right. I'd be typecast as like, I don't know, like shitty friend who is not as much of a good guy as he seems. Like maybe like murderous good guy, something like that.
Well, you seem good at that. What would I be typecast as then? You can feel free to be as honest as you'd like.
I don't know. I feel like you could be like accountant. I feel like that's there. Like going over the books and being like, I'm serious about this. Like something like that. We really need to sell. So whatever they say.
Writes to Ricky Sanchez at gmail.com. And finally, a trade proposal. An interesting one from Big Mo. Hey, Spike and Mike. First of all, thank you for so many years of great Sixers content. I have a weird trade to discuss that I think makes more sense than it appears on the surface. The trade proposal is Ben Simmons for John Collins and Cam Reddish. This is difficult considering the Hawks just saw how easily Simmons was to beat. The angle here is the Hawks talk themselves into the idea that the only team in the league with enough shooting to make up for Ben's lack of ability to score outside 3 feet, he would give them a viable option for guarding Giannis, who just defeated them in the conference finals. For the Sixers, they get a player who's proven to be a viable stretch four. Obviously, he doesn't shoot at an elite level, but good enough to give Embiid space with three other shooters on the floor, somewhat switchable on the perimeter, and adds an athletic lob threat. Also, he's a perfectly viable smallish ball five for in-games Embiid misses. I'm not sure where you stand on Cam Reddish, but I think he showed flashes of elite shot-making ability, and his defense in the Eastern Conference Finals really impressed me at times. What do you think of that, Cam Reddish and
Atlanta's riding so high, they're not going to then go trade for the guy that they just...
Do you think they're going to give John Collins a max deal? I liked after watching Collins, like he's one of those guys that the minute he dribbles, it's a disaster. Yeah. But if he can play without dribbling, he's pretty awesome.
I'm not sure what's going to happen there. I think that they're going to try to keep them together. I think it's the kind of thing where it's, you know, with Nate McMillan and the vibes around how good Trae Young has become. I think you just kind of want to just like nobody move, like everybody just like sit here and just if we move that it could fuck everything up. I doubt he gets a max, but I think he gets a lot of money. And maybe that means they trade Bogdanovich and allow Herter to step into that role and Cam Reddish to step into a bigger role. Who does show flashes? I think he's so raw still. There's obviously a special player in there, but like his shot making ability, like he shot like, I think he shot like under like 40% on twos in college. Like there's it's weird to project a ton of stuff there, but he's certainly like, you know, the package is appealing.
DeAndre Hunter
also
need...
good, like those kinds of things. So I think they'll find a way to keep him. I don't think that they would do that trade in any way. And I don't think the Sixers, certainly from the Sixers angle, like you're not trading Ben Simmons for another power forward. Like what are we doing?
I sort of think they need Bogdanovich in the, I hate when people do this, but it feels like it's necessary, in the way that Miami needed Dragic in their final season, in that Trae Young is great, but having a bigger, you know, like other guard who can do more of those things and sort of run the offense when Trae Young is out of the game, I think is really important. I think they need Bogdanovich, but I agree with you. They'll have to trade somebody.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. All right. Thank you for listening, and go Drew and go Suns. Go everybody that is not a Colangelo.
Either way, it's a win for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you down with TTP?
Yeah. You know, like phase.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you. If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you. But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for plan B.